Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I'm going to be your host. Tonight, we have somebody I'm really excited to talk to. This guy is pretty badass. Says what he wants to say, no holds barred, doesn't really care what anybody thinks. We are going to be talking to Billy Bogus from American Detail Garage. So stay tuned. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, Alex?
Good, man. So, welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast for everybody listening. Mr. Billy Vaugus, American Detail Garage. Glad to have you on.
Happy to be here, man. Thanks for the invite.
Yes, sir. So pretty much the way I start with all the podcasts, if you haven't got a chance to listen to them yet, is introduction, man. How did you get into this? How long have you been doing this? All the fun stuff that everybody just wants to know.
All right, well, how did I get myself into this mess and when did it
Yeah.
start? Well, I mean, really, it started at a young age, doing my parents' cars. I might, get $10 here. I might get to clean some cars so I can get some fireworks for 4th of July. But as far as paid gigs, it really happened when I was in the Marine Corps. Me and a buddy of mine would press out camis and get stuff ready for inspections for people. And then aside of that, we were, washing cars and waxing cars. And I just kind of always had a knack for just, a finer edge, a sharper edge. And then it continued on. When I left the military, came home and wanted something to do. I tried the factory thing out and that didn't work well for obvious reasons. So took a job washing cars at a car dealership and it just kind of went from there. Really, I mean, the short story, depending on which story you want, but that's how it kind of got started.
Nice. Well, yeah, I mean, you can tell as long as you want. We got about 45 minutes, so we might have time to fill. Now, hang on, because I want to ask you this, and this isn't in my questions, but so I remember, and I'm curious about this, so that's why I'm going to ask this. I remember watching one of your live videos where you were a door-to-door vacuum salesman.
Yeah, I did that too.
Yeah, how was
That
that?
was fun. And to say door to door, it's a little bit misleading. That's pretty much what we call it. But so we had a marketing department in there and they would, make phone calls. And that was back before 9 11. No, it was right after 9/11, wasn't it?
Okay.
Right around 9/11. Yeah. It was after 9/11, obviously. Okay. Yeah. So it was 2001, 2002, I think is when it was. When you could still call people's homes. And they didn't think weird stuff, and it's not like it is today. So they would call,
Right.
and they would basically give them a pitch and offer like a free gift or whatever, and it was usually a cheesy gift just to get you in the door. So they set the appointments. You drive out to these appointments in your car with this bag full of filters and vacuum and all that stuff, and you get out there and you break the ice with the people, get in the door, and then you basically have a 3-hour demonstration where you talk about, dust mites and how filthy the air is and all this other stuff. And you do a demo and then you close, it was commission based only. So you had to close them at the end of it and ultimately try
Right.
to sell the machine to it was an $8,000 machine.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, it was fun. And then I went into management there and went into from management, went into training people. And
Nice.
that's where I guess the connection with people and I like teaching and fundamentals, man. Sales is not hard. A lot of people would come in there and like, well, I don't like sales. I'm like, that's great because we're not here to sell people anything, right?
Right.
We're here just to show you, a demonstration and just the way the thing goes, it never puts you in a position where you feel like you're hard closing somebody,
Right.
to the most people. I mean, obviously that's up to you. If you want to earn more and you get tired of being told no, you start learning how to hard close people. But yeah, I did some of that too. Yeah.
Nice, man. So obviously, American Detail Garage and everything. My questions for you are really gonna, and not all of them, but I got a few because I'm curious. So, how did you start making the chemicals? Like, what got you into just I'm gonna start making my own chemicals.
I got sick of Facebook groups, to be honest with you. I was I was kind of like one of those guys that was doing the real thing. I've been around the shops and the production shops and done a lot of things in the detailing industry, and I'm like doing my thing, and every now and then I get free time. I go online, I look at some of these Facebook groups, I'm like, man, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. These guys are clowns. And
right.
And then I would see how they would treat other people. So in 2015, December 20th, 2015, I started a Facebook group called American Detailer.
Right.
And in that group, I still, you know, in my group, I can do what I want to. And I started showing guys just common sense ways of detailing cars. And a lot of people really gravitated to the simplicity of it all. Instead of trying to overcomplicate things and make myself look like I'm some genius. If you're a genius, you wouldn't be washing fucking cars. You know, you'd be operating on brains.
Right.
But yeah, that's that was what was going on at the time. So I was just showing common sense ways of detailing cars, getting result. And I, you know, along the way, I had several people reach out to me and say, "Hey, man, you know, start your own chemical line." And I thought it was just too cheap, you know, too cheap, not price wise, just too cheap of a thing to do. And that's not the right reason I got into it. And I even had prominent people in the industry reach out to me and said, "Dude, what you need to do is launch a product line." And my answer to them really was, you know, well, why would I launch my own product line when there are so many products out there now that work great? You know, why don't I just try to? And sometimes you look back in hindsight and you're like, well, hell, if I'd have just stuck to it, I could have got a lot of these companies to pay me to do a lot of stuff for them. Might have been a hell of a lot easier.
Right, right.
But ultimately, you know, a friend of mine, I was talking with, he's like, man, you need to create your own product line. I had heard this for about 2 years. And I had some ideas, and there are some things I don't really want to go into just for obvious reasons. I'll tell you one-on-one. But there was a series of events that happened in the industry, products that got discontinued and whatever. It opened a hole for exactly what I wanted, So never really was interested in relabeling a bunch of stuff and just, you know, making a product with my name on the same shit, just different label.
Right.
So when those things happen, I said series of unfortunate circumstances, perhaps they're more of a fortunate circumstance for me than an unfortunate. We started going to the kitchen, you know, got to hook up with the blender, and we started talking about things, and I was like, you know, I don't really want what everybody else has. You know, I could come out there with a quick detailer and tire dressing and all these cheesy things. I really wanted something that I believed in, something I could build a story around and a process around. And so that's where F-Bomb and Wipeout first came from. Is from that concept. And it was something different that wasn't out there. Yeah, other companies have rinseless washes, but the technology that we put into ours, I was quite satisfied with. It's not just, you know, your run of the mill. Somebody's got one, so I'll take it and put my label on it.
Right.
So listen, chemicals are kind of like talk radio, right? If you ever listen to talk radio, you get one show ends, the next one comes on. It's the same regurgitated stuff, just a different person.
Exactly.
And some people will say, well, it's the same regurgitated stuff. And then the person defending the argument would be like, well, but you haven't heard my version yet. And so to a point, I kind of agree with that. You know, I don't want to make the exact same product somebody else has, but yeah, other people have rinseless washes, but you haven't tried mine yet.
Right, right.
You know, we're not just a company that just throws stuff in a bottle and says, well, now here's a product. There's a reason we made it the way we did and years of experience behind that product. And that's why I can tell people, this is why I recommend Wipeout, and this is how you use it, and F-bomb such and such. It's why it's different, and this is why I recommend it. So that's the kind of the short story how that, you know, how all that started.
Right.
It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier on the outside, you know, looking in than it is on the inside looking out, because I'm screaming, help me. And you guys are like, how do you do that? And I'm like, get me the hell out of here.
Right. I'm sure of it. So kind of my next question you kind of touched on a little bit is – you know, so how does it work as far as, you know, you going to the chemist and everything like that? I mean, did you say like, okay, well, I want to make a rinseless and I want to make a badass, you know, multi-purpose, all-purpose, you know, whatever you want to call it, F-bomb, everybody kind of calls it a different thing. Or, you know, were you just kind of talking and they were like, hey, you know, we could do this and we could do that, you know, and for you to say, okay, well, yeah, because I kind of want to do that anyways.
Yeah. Good question. So it kind of went like this. I'm like, you know, I wanted to make a rinseless wash, a rinse-free wash, and they keep referring to it as a waterless wash. I don't know how it gets misconstrued and everybody calls it a waterless wash. They're like, okay, well, we'll make something up. And basically the way it goes, they make something up. They'll send me a bottle of it. I'll test it. And I'll tell them, you know, my feedback. Like, okay, well, you know, hey, we got your waterless wash ready. And I'm like, it's rinseless wash. You know? So they sent it to me, and it's junk. It's junk. Right. And I'm like, well, maybe this isn't the right thing to do, you know? And they're like, well, what is it that you're looking for? And really, I had to spell it because they're freaking chemists. They're chemists. Right. They're not detailers. They're chemists.
Right. Exactly.
So you had to break down to them, you know, they know, they're just like the average person that buys a product off the shelf. They just think, they don't know the difference between a rinseless wash or waterless wash. They just understand chemistry and polymer and surfactant. They understand that.
Right.
So I start talking to them kind of like in a chemistry terms of what I'm looking for. And they put together another product. It's a rinse-free product. And I liked it, did well. And originally we wanted a product that just had zero polymer, zero protectants, you know, in it. And a lot of people don't know this. I've said it a time or two. I don't know if guys have listened. But so we came to the table with it, and, you know, it performed well, it cleaned really well, but it wasn't very good on glass. And so I'm banging my head against a wall at this point, and I'm like, you know, and they're like, well, we can pull this surfactant out, this cleaner out, and then let's try that same product. They pulled the surfactant out of it, sent me the rinseless, and that was almost the formulation of Wipeout you see now. The extract they pulled out of it is what F-bomb came.
Oh, okay.
So actually, F-bomb is a byproduct of the original formula of Wipeout. We just took that cleaner out, and then built around it to create an all-purpose cleaner. So that's the story of how that got started, really by accident.
Okay. Right. So then technically, kind of maybe somewhat bastardized Noxy's Bizzle Shizzle is kind of a original formulation of that then.
not really, because we did make a couple more tweaks to Wipeout.
Okay.
And then we had to build, we took that surfactant of F-bomb and built around that too.
Gotcha.
So it's, yeah, I mean, as a matter of fact, if you mix the Bizzle mix, it's actually more friendly than that sample of Wipeout that we had that we took F-bomb out of. No kidding. So Bizzle works better than that original sample did when we took the extract out.
Oh, nice.
So Bizzle's actually a better product.
Oh, okay. While we're talking about that, again, it's really, I don't have it. Some of these questions just kind of come up as they go. Any plans? Because I know I think I've seen some people ask before, any plans to actually make a product for Bizzle? You know, already mixed, ready to go,
yeah.
So nobody has to do it.
Actually, I've been thinking a lot about that. As a matter of fact, this week I've been thinking, and I already have a name for it. We're going to call it the Devil's Cut.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, actually, that is something I want to do. Well, when you called me earlier and asked me, I told you I had to go inside and clean my hands.
Yeah.
I was actually cleaning the front of this truck with the Bizzle, you know.
Oh, nice.
The grill area and all that, because it just, you get the best of both worlds. Somebody say, well, you know, well, if I have F-bomb, that should work. Well, it's really, I think the guys that have used Bizzle as a product would, you know, say that it actually brings the best of both products out. It really does.
Right.
Yeah, that's definitely something I'm interested in doing. I've talked to Noxy a little bit about it. But yeah, that's something I'm thinking really hard about. You know, I do that. Some guys are going to come out and be like, well, all you got to do is mix this. And obviously, but there's some people that don't want to mix it. That's the broader thing that we've learned as product manufacturers.
I've got my hand raised over here because I would much rather just pour it out of a gallon jug than sit there and monkey around with mixing it and then going pouring water in it. I am that lazy, so to speak.
I am too.
You know, and again, you know, it comes down to a time thing, especially with detailers. I mean, when you got to stop and take, you know, 5 minutes or whatever to mix up a chemical and, you know, and pour it into a bottle. And, you know, some guys may just mix gallons of it. I don't. I mix it as I need it kind of thing, because I use that for, like, when I'm doing my maintenance washes and I'm cleaning wheels that aren't super dirty, you know, I'm just hitting the faces, or I use it to wipe out door jams. You know, I'll hit windows with it. You know, little things like that, kind of deal. So I just make a bottle of it, you know, as I need. And it lasts me, you know, a pretty decent amount of time. But still, you know, take 5 minutes to mix this stuff up is still 5 minutes you could be working. Kind of deal. So no, that's awesome. That kind of falls into any plans to add product to the line. So I guess if you're you kind of answered that one.
Yeah, we will. We will.
Now just kind of stay on that question. As far as adding product, do you ever think you'll get into like a compound polish, wax, sealant kind of deal? Or you just stay kind of, the bread and butter of what's, ADG is about, the washes and the cleaners and the well, you have Valor, which is kind of like a quick detailer, right? So that's kind of sealant-ish.
Yeah, it's a spray sealant. Yeah, no, it's a synthetic
Yeah.
polymer. It's a spray sealant. It's a really good one
Right.
too. Compounds and polishes. You know, I have a whole slew of them out there of samples we've taken in and worked with different manufacturers. And there's two sides to look at that. One side of it, I'm like, I'd like to have a compound polish, just to fill out the line, right? To fill out the line. But when it comes to the business decisions of it's not always the best decision. That stuff is
Right.
extremely expensive. When you have
Yeah.
distributors, so let me say something here that a lot of people wouldn't realize that. So if I had American Detailer Garage and I was the sole distributor of my product, the sole meaning I didn't have distributors, right?
Right.
We got six in the United States right now and six U.S. distributors, major distributors. So whenever we make a product, they have to be able to buy in at a discount, right? Bulk discount. That way they have
Exactly.
margin to resell. Well, when it comes to like your tire dressings, your polishes, compounds, there's not a lot of margin to give in there. So it's going to be
Right.
hard for distributors to take that product on when there's not a big incentive for them to resell it. That being said, not every product we make has to go to a distributor, right?
Right.
So we, kind of give them the option, hey, this is a product we're going to release. This is where we're at. But I mean, it's some of them that we've run numbers on with so much that if I gave my distributors their discount, I would make zero profit on it. Nothing. I wouldn't make a
Gotcha.
dollar on it. So
Wow.
yeah, I mean, it's something I've pondered, and talked a lot about and played with, and we had a really, really good one here a while back, what, like a year ago, Shock. We were going to launch that. It was a really awesome compound, and things just didn't line up, and it didn't work. So ever since then, I just kind of put it on the back burner. So you never know, man. We might do it if it
Right.
makes sense, but right now it seems like everybody's competing for that market, so.
Yeah. Just stick with what's making you ADG.
But
No, no sense in.
you never watch a game. You never watch a game like a basketball game, for instance, and they say, well, if they'd had three or four more slam dunks, they'd have won the game. Everything always comes down to fundamentals. Well, if they'd have
Right.
made those free throws, they would have won the game. Free throws win the game. Slam dunks and all that looks real pretty on
Yeah.
film, but free throws win the game. Basic fundamentals is what wins the game.
Right, exactly. No, and that's a good good mindset to have with that. So you, again, you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier. So American Detailer Garage, for maybe some people who don't know, came from American Detailer. So, and I know you probably have told this story many times, but you want to fill people in who maybe don't know, like how the American Detail Facebook page or group or whatever started and then morphed into ADG.
Yeah, I mean, it really came from just I was fed up with other Facebook groups. I was involved with another individual who had a group, had a little product line, and I was, working with him, and we had a great relationship there for a while. We're building a team, and the guy just had way too much ego, just way too much ego, and egos don't work with me, man. You got to, humble yourself at
Yeah.
some point. And so we had a falling out, and I was like, well, we already had established American Detailer, which is more or less just a place to do tips and tricks on how to get results quick. And
Right.
he found out about it, got mad, kicked me out of his group. And then from that point, really, American Detailer Garage, the Facebook group, took on its own, its own little thing there, where I wanted to make it separate from everybody else. And I mean, I threw challenges out there to people, like, if you think I'm full of shit, then step up. I mean, toe to toe, really. I mean, this stuff works. It's common sense as far as techniques, that I was doing at the time, and showing people simple ways of making money. I live
Right,
in
right.
rural America. I live in a rural part of Kentucky, and we don't do $3,000 correction and coating jobs out here. So how does a guy like me out there in Kansas or Oklahoma, Alabama make money?
Right.
Our goal is to bring more people into the industry, not run them off with an ego. So that's really how American Detail, the Facebook, got started. And then, like I said, I had several people persuade me to launch a product line. They thought the branding would be perfect, but I wasn't sold on it. And it wasn't until, like I said, a series of fortunate, unfortunate circumstances happened in
Right.
the industry, and it just left it wide open for me to really go the way I wanted to go. So it wasn't anything that was planned. It was just kind of one of those where the gate opened and I walked through, and and just it's weird how things happen sometimes, isn't it?
Right. So where did the idea of adding garage to it? I mean, why not have just kept it American Detailer?
Man, I fought that, fought that, and fought that, and fought that. So here's the story. When I had American Detailer, the Facebook group, I never really thought about it as a business. Okay. Never
Okay.
thought about it as a business. So I had an individual that was part of the group at the time. He reached out to me. He's like, man, you need to get that domain, the .com. I'm like, yeah, maybe sometime. I mean,
Right.
it's okay right now. I'm not really looking to make a business out of it. It's just a Facebook page. And who else is going to come out with an American Detailer? So as time would go on, I looked it up one day, the .com. It turns out that the guy that gave me that advice actually took the .com. And I reached out to him. I'm like, hey, I know you're the one that gave me the advice, so you have the .com. You know what? I'm not sure what's up with that. I should be mad about it, but I'm not. I'll go ahead and give you your $13.49 or whatever it was that you paid for it.
Right.
Let me go on. And it was a big to do. He was jerking me around, yanking me around, and for those that were around back when those times went down, I mean, I called the guy out publicly. Several of us in the industry called him out. I had several of the industry leaders, email him,
Oh,
message
wow.
him, and the guy just was fixated on, keeping it. In fact, he recently sold it for $1,000. But so that's why I didn't do American Detailer. I was like, well, I'm just
Okay.
making because I like the American Detailer. I liked it, and
Right.
we might bring it back. We might bring it back in a different format at some point, maybe an apparel line,
Right.
or something like that. But yeah, that's why I was like, well, okay, well, instead of fighting this guy or giving what he wants, I'll just make American Detailer Garage, and I'll make it big enough that if you come out there and try to make something with the American Detailer name, then you're not gonna do it in this industry.
Right, exactly. Oh, that's cool, 'cause that's one thing I think in, a lot of the things I've seen you post or videos and stuff, in the last 2 years really that I've been kind of in these groups to, meet you guys, kind of I don't think I've ever heard that before. That's why I was kind of curious about it. And in trenches. So I did read your post the other day, but maybe for people who didn't or people don't know, you want to elaborate how you took trenches, because I know everybody's like, oh man, we're in
Sure.
the trenches, we're in the trenches. But like you kind of really have, I mean, I think I had knew trenches before I even knew you or American Detailer Garage when I first started like creeping around in the the Facebook detailer groups and stuff like that. I always saw trenches and people wearing the shirts and the hoodies and stuff, probably, like I said, before I even knew who you were or knew about ADG. So you want to tell a story about that, or do you have a story
Yeah,
for it,
I
or?
do. I do. It's funny you mentioned that. I was walking down the street in Vegas, SEMA 2018, and it was after hours. I mean, it was late, and I'm walking down the street, and this guy comes up. He's like, "Hey, what's up, Billy?" I'm like, "What's up?" He's like, "Man, I saw the trenches shirt. Want to come up and talk to you?" I'm like, "Cool." So the trenches almost became like, a brand in itself, really, if you think about it.
Right.
The trenches really comes down to a lot of things, man. I have a heart for service and a willingness to help people in this industry because, coming up, there was no Facebook or any of that stuff when we were coming up. And there were so many things I did wrong, man, like spending too much time in the shop and away from my family. And, some guys think it's cool. I spent, 20 hours in the shop or whatever. And I get it. And everybody
Yeah.
has their own reasons for that. But a long term, that's a terrible goal. It's a terrible goal.
Right.
You got to kind of diversify that up. But so, I was driving a truck hauling mail at the time, driving an 18-wheeler hauling mail, and I was going to Chicago. I'd go like run, have a day off, run, have a day off, and I
Right.
took on the Blue Ribbon Motors account here, and so we were turning cars. I mean, it was nothing to do 8 to 12 cars a week here, and then I'd run Chicago, come home. So a typical day like that would be I'd get up, probably like 10 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning. And I'd come out to my shop and I would detail cars. And then my wife would get home about 5 o'clock. I'd close the shop down. We would eat a quick dinner. I'd take a shower. I'd leave here about 6, 6:30. And I would head to Chicago. I'd get up there around midnight And I had to wait. It was like, I think 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that. So I'd get up there, wait a couple of hours, and I'm back in the dock, unload the mail. Then I would sit there for like 3 hours, I think is what it was, to reload the mail. But anyway, I didn't get back home until like noon, 1 o'clock the next day.
Oh, wow.
And I'd go right back into the shop. And believe me, there were times I came home and I would lay down to try to take a nap, and they would call me, "Hey, do you have this car done?" You know, I'd have just, and I'll post the pictures up in the group here soon. But I've got pictures of just cars, rows of cars out here in the driveway, and that's how it was. And every other day was that way. You know, get up in the morning, detail cars till I got to leave. I drive to Chicago, drive all night, go up there, take a nap in the dock, reload, come back, and go right back to detailing. You know, I think it was like 34 hours nonstop
Wow.
to do it. And then that's where I started coming up with the trenches. And then on top of that, I would do mobile stuff. Like there's a marina, I don't know, about an hour, hour and a half away from me. And there was this one guy that had a pontoon. I'd, you know, pull my mobile trailer up there, and I'd take my generator and everything because it's in a storage building. It was hot, man, and I was just wore out. And that's when I was decided, it was like that day. I'm like, you know, if I ever get an opportunity, I'm gonna make this trenches thing a thing, put it on the shirt or something, because that's what it is.
Right.
And a lot of guys can relate to that. And that's just what it is, man. It's not an easy road.
Yeah.
But that's where it came
Yeah.
from.
No, that's badass, man. I get it. I don't feel that I'm in the trenches as much anymore because I've made that decision that family time is a little more important. So as long as I'm making a little bit of bread at the shop and keeping the boss happy, then I'm good.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, man. That is.
I cut out when I want to cut out kind of deal. But no, but I mean, I get it. I mean, there was, my career of managing car washes and working 60 plus hours a week and not being around, the family and everything. So I totally get that. So you're a very like tell it as it is type person, no holds barred, especially when you do your live videos. You're always like, warning, 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 shit's gonna get real kind of deal. Compared to a lot of other like company guys, man, you are not the same. Do you ever feel like that works for you better or against you in this industry? Because I know, when you think of a lot of the other, companies, they're so PC and, gotta have this, image on social media, and then here comes Big Bad Billy, like, y'all wanna listen to some shit, I'm gonna tell you like it is, kind of deal.
You know, before I would have told you, that's just the way it is. I create my own brand, do what I want to do, and I do it how I want to do it. And I still do.
Yeah.
But as you become more wise in business, you know, there, I think you can have both. I'm never gonna do the PC thing. You know, I mean, I don't know if this is a PG podcast or what, but if I
I
think
mean, it is and it is, and I mean, I don't know. I mean,
if somebody's
I
a
haven't
butthole,
really
I'm gonna
heard
call
the
you a butthole, you know.
right.
If somebody's just full of crap, then they're just full of crap. And so there's two sides to that, really. You know, I have a lot of people that reach out, and I mentor, you know, in the industry. And if you ask me a question about somebody, I'm going to give you my honest opinion about them.
Right.
You know, and man, I don't care who tells anybody what or whatever. It's just my opinion. I'm an expert on my opinion. But I think, does it work for us? I think being non-PC and just being real with people, you know, creates its own demand, its own following. People appreciate that because they're so tired of being marketed to and lied to. But at the
Right.
same time, I realize, you know, there's going to come a time when we're somewhere. And obviously, if I'm doing an event or a local car show, I'm not that person. You know, I'm more of a helpful talk to my yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and
Right.
all of that. So I think it's a delicate balance. But I mean, I think if you're not that, you're not really being you. And the cool thing
Right.
is, alongside of that, there's been many a times I thought during the course of building ADG that it'd be cool to just, you know, what if I could just work for one of these cool companies and I wouldn't have to deal with the headaches and everything of building my own. But then again, then you got to follow somebody else's rules. You know,
Yeah,
I really like
exactly.
following my own rules. And I think that if you treat people fair, you deliver a good product, a good result, people, you know, they want to hear, that's what they want to hear. So the cool thing about being the boss is you can do whatever you want to do, the sucky thing about being the boss, you got to answer for those things.
that is true. You know, I mean, that's kind of how I look at it with, you know, sometimes I want to tell clients how I really feel, but, you know, you got to kind of suck it up and be the nice guy, customer service and all that, that fun stuff. All right. So we're done with ADG. Let's talk about snakes.
You're the snakes.
Everybody knows you have snakes. When did you first start collecting snakes, or when was your first, you know, pet snake?
Oh, man.
If you want to call them pets, I don't know. That's, you know, snakes aren't like dogs or cats or whatever, I guess. But when did you get your first snake, and what was it?
My first snake was a garter snake. I was probably 17. Probably 17 years old. I've always liked them. My uncle had a big boa when I was younger. And they're not what people think they are. You know, everybody thinks they're like trying to chase people around and bite them. And that's not the case at all. So first snake was a garter snake. Second snake, I got a king snake. I caught him. And this is part of learning about snakes. I'm like, cool, now I have two snakes. I put my king snake in with my garter snake, and the king snake ate my garter snake. King snakes eat other snakes. And that's how I learned it the hard way. Then,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, then I got a boa. I got a boa constrictor one time, and I was living at home. You know, my dad and my stepmom, and people who know the story. We just never had much of a relationship, so I wasn't allowed to do anything or have anything. Well, you know, Billy does what Billy does, so I went and got me a boa constrictor, and I had him in a cage, you know, beside my bed up against the wall, and I'd throw my blankets over and cover it and hide it so, you know, nobody would find out. One day I was out, my stepmom found it and called the local pet store, and I got in trouble there, you know, quite a bit of trouble over that. And the pet store wouldn't deal with me anymore. And, you know, I was a responsible pet owner type deal. But then after that, I mean, I've had Burmese pythons. I've had other boas. I've always kind of had snakes, took a break from it for, you know, 15 years or whatever. And recently got back into it a year or so ago. But so I think I'm going to go ahead.
How many snakes do you have now?
Currently today I have 16. 16 snakes.
What's your favorite species of snake that you have?
Man, you know, it's like asking which kid's your favorite kid. They're all their own. Like my emerald tree boa, which he's down there looking at me right now. He's hanging from his tree. Snakes are a different type of snake altogether, right? So I've got the emerald tree boa. I've got an Amazon tree boa. Got my tree snakes. They have their own personalities. They like to stay up high, and they can have a completely different demeanor than your terrestrial snake. So usually boa constrictors are my favorite, but I just got a baby Burmese python, and you know, they'll grow 15, 20 feet long, and they are a lot more active. You know, they're almost like having a dog. They'll crawl all over you, and they're very interested in things. When you come in the room, they watch you. So I don't know that I have a definitive favorite, but I mean, traditionally, I like the boa constrictors. They're pretty chill, laid-back animals.
Now, do you have any of them that are big now, or?
Yeah, I've got I got a hypo red-tail boa. She's six and a half feet. She's a pretty big girl. I've got an albino. He's about like that, 5.5, 6 feet. Those are my two biggest ones right now. Wow. And two of my most chillest ones.
Any poisonous ones, or you stay away from the poison ones?
Venomous. I don't have any venomous. I would like to get into venomous. I like them a lot. State of Kentucky, you can't have them. You know, it's illegal to have them. But, I think it'd be kind of cool to have a rattlesnake or a cobra. I really, you know, Alex, I get stressed out. Life gets the best of me. I just come in the snake room, and there's always something to do, right? It's like having a farm, and I'll just interact with these guys, clean their cages. And it's a peaceful, just a peace it brings upon you, because you got to watch them, you know, and you understand the way they work. You're watching them do what they do and interacting with them, and it's man and beast, you know, having a mutual respect for one another. And I think that's the most soothing part about it. I think venomous would make that even cooler, but none to speak of.
Right. Have you ever been bit
by venomous or by mine?
No, by yours.
Oh yeah.
Or by venomous. I mean, whatever.
I've been bit by a venomous. My Amazon tree boa has bit me so many times. I can't even count. I've got two of my tree snakes have bit me. one of my boas bit me. Usually it's my fault. One of my boas, my smaller boas, bit me. And then last week, I was opening my bin racks, the little tubs, and one of my ball pythons reached out and bit the hell out of my thumb.
Ouch.
But that's just, they're mistaking me for food. Yeah, they're snakes. Snakes have, they have two responses. It's either a feeding response or a defensive response. And it's like a three-way switch. Am I being fed? Am I being attacked? And I'm cool. So when you first approach them, you know, they have to figure out it's not food and I'm not being attacked. And once they turn those switches off, then they're cool. Right. You know, a lot of times you first pull them out and they're kind of like tongues going, you know, that's how they sense things with their tongue. And after about a minute, you can even see their demeanor completely change. They realize I'm not being attacked and I'm not being fed. So weird tree has me, because to them, you're just a weird tree. They can climb on you.
Right.
A weird tree has me. They're pretty simple animals.
Weird tree.
Weird tree.
Yeah. So I know you always talk about you like to go out to the gun range. So is that, you have that on your property?
I do.
So do you have like a big giant hill you shoot into, or you shoot into the woods, or?
I don't really have a dirt mount, a backstop per se, but I mean, there's my property, and there's a huge field, and then there's acres and acres and acres and acres and acres of trees, and then there's a hill, and then the neighbor on the other road. Like if you looked at my house from like a satellite view or whatever, it's just, I mean, it would take a hell of a gun to make. Yeah, there's so many trees in the way, but I always notify my neighbor back there just in case he's in the woods, right? Make sure he's not in the woods.
Right. Yep.
I'll notify him if I'm going to open up, you know, and he'll be like, oh man, fire away. And range goes hot. And then, you know, when I'm done, I'll be like, you know, I'm clear. But yeah, we have the range right here at our house.
Oh, that's cool. How often do you just shoot whenever you want to, or do you like say like, I'm going to make this a gun day and load everything up and take it out there and shoot, or?
Yeah, it depends. So there, you know, just like the snakes are, shooting to me as a stress reliever, like, you know, business and life, you're going 100 mile an hour, then all of a sudden you're staring down three dots and trying to hit an object 20 miles away. It'd be a bad sumbitch when you
yeah, 20
yards away. And so there's a calm. And unless you're calm and completely focused on that, you're not going to be very successful in your shot.
Right.
But I try to make time to shoot. You, believe it or not, sometimes I just can't find time. There's times that, days that go by, and I tell Beth, I'm like, man, I really wanted to shoot today. I want to shoot. And it just depends on how the day goes. But and then there are certain days where I'll set out in the morning, set my stuff out. Okay, today's going to be a gun day. I'm going to go shoot.
Yeah.
And now with right now there's an ammo shortage with the world in freaking chaos, or at least the United States. There's an ammo shortage, and we have plenty of it, believe me. But, you know, it doesn't mean I want to go out there and shoot it all out, because on a good range day, we might put down 300-500 rounds.
Oh, well, nice.
Yeah.
And do you, I know you said, I know you mentioned one time before your gun cabinet could easily buy fancy cars. So, what type of guns do you collect or use or whatever, or just kind of whatever floats your boat that day?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's with my guns, it's changed quite a bit, but you know, now it's, essentials, if you will. So I approach, my approach to everything is just common sense and essentials. Is there a need for it? Yeah, like I got a ton of 1911s. Is there a need for them? Not necessarily, but to me, a 1911 is like a watch or a grandfather clock, or, you know, everybody has their own nostalgic thing. And then, you know, we're kind of into the whole prep thing. So, you know, everybody already knows, you know, I'm very proud American, love my country. I think this is the greatest place on planet Earth. And so between the detailing cars and all the great things that life has to offer, the essentials come down to defending the homeland. And some people listen to this podcast and be like, well, you know, he's kind of talking out there. And maybe the last couple of months has kind of revealed what could actually, you know, potentially happen in this country.
Yeah.
So when everything gets locked down, shut down, and chaos ensues, I wanted to have, you know, whether it's my lifetime or my grandson's lifetime or my daughter's lifetime, have something to protect your home, you know, and defend yourself with, should it ever come to that. Hopefully it does not. But yeah, so first thing I did is I got rid of some of the eccentric stuff. Everything I have is NATO, you know, so 45, 9mm, 308, 7.62, 30 caliber stuff. A lot of that stuff. I've got ARs, I've got an AK, several sniper rifles.
Nice.
I got a MPX, I got an MPX Copperhead, ton of pig. I got more than I really need, but again, I cut
Right.
everything back. I tell Beth I cut back to the basics, and she opens the gun safe and starts laughing. I'm like, really? For the basics for a small army.
That's like my dad. My dad's like, I always need another gun. And I'm like, why? You got so many, you know? And he's like, ah, I just need another one. So my mom tells him whenever he needs a new one, he's got to get rid of an old one. So then he's got to figure out which one he doesn't use anymore or need anymore to go get the new one.
Yeah, well, it's like women in shoes, brother. And I understand, I
Yeah,
get it. You know, Beth's
that's
got like a
true.
hundred pair of shoes, and I'm like, how can you not figure out what to wear? You've got 100 pairs of shoes, and I go out to my gun safe, like, what do I want to shoot today? And she's like, what?
Right. Exactly.
But it is, it really is that way, especially when you start, we're not buying cheap stuff. It's nice stuff, right? It's quality
Yeah.
stuff, and
Yeah.
yeah. So like, so for instance, like, on a day I might go shoot my Sig P320. It's a single action, semi-automatic polymer pistol. Another day I might want to shoot a P229, which is a it's a steel gun. It's a single action, double action, with a decocker. Completely different gun. Same
Right.
cartridge, similar. If somebody looked at them, well, one's polymer, one's steel, whatever. Very, very different, and different, just different experience in shooting. Just like the 1911. I wouldn't carry a 1911 as a concealed carry, self-defense gun. And some 1911 geek out there's gonna be like, "What's that carry?" No,
Yeah.
no. It's a fun range gun, unless you've got a Wilson Combat or something, $4,000 1911. No, it's not gonna be. First of all, it holds, 8 and maybe 9 rounds of 45. Well, Rick, you can get a concealed carry, 9 millimeter today that holds 17 rounds. Well,
Yeah.
17 beats 8 every time.
Right.
But man, I'll tell you, Alex, like I carry my daily carry is a Sig 365, and I've got it in black, and I've got it in the flat dark earth, same exact gun. Why I had to have it in two different colors, I don't know. Why do women have pink shoes and green shoes and blue shoes? And so your dad and I would probably get
Yeah.
along real well.
Yeah, probably. Probably because he loves to go out to the range when he can, whenever mom lets him. I mean, he's got his stockpile of ammo, so he can go out there and waste when he wants to. But he's always carried his daily for, man, I mean, shoot, I'm 47 now, as far back as I can remember, is 357 snub nose.
Yeah,
That's his,
absolutely.
that's he calls that Simon because Simon says you
Oh,
do.
is it a 686 or is it a GP? It's Ruger.
It's a Smith and Wesson.
It's probably 686. Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Simon
Yeah. I
says,
mean,
Simon does say.
like I said, I'm 47 and as far back as I can remember, he's had that gun. So, he's had it since
Well.
the mid 70s easily. And always has it. So.
Alex,
It's
shooting is like golf, but for men.
right.
Oh,
Good one. Well, we're coming up on 43 minutes, so usually I try to keep these things around 45. So I don't have any other questions, man. I was I you know I really
that's okay.
had
I'm sure this is better than King Noxie's podcast anyway.
You know what, a damn Noxy, I feel bad for him because he keeps getting bumped every week. Eventually one week we're gonna have him on, maybe
He's a
next
busy
week. I don't
dude.
know if he doesn't get bumped. No, he just gets bumped. Cooler people come up and he gets bumped. It's not that he's busy, he gets bumped.
Hey, you know what? You guys are gonna love that. He's a really good friend of mine, right?
Yeah, he's a
Super
good buddy
awesome
of mine
dude.
too. Yeah. Listen, me and Noxie, we have our Facebook relationship and then we have our personal relationship, which is just about the same, only just a tad bit nicer on in real life.
The hell of a
so
hell of a good dude, and the woonicorn he's got over with him.
Yeah. In fact, I think I might actually try to get see if I can get Woo on a podcast before I ever get Noxy on a podcast, just to twist that knife a little bit more for him.
That'd be a blast.
Yeah, but Billy, man, I really appreciate this. Like I said, man, when I kind of had this crazy idea, couple months ago, and you know, first person I talked to about it was Jason, just because him and I talk, you know, on a regular basis, and I really trust his, you know, his opinion on things and whatnot. And he was like, dude, I think what you're wanting to do with it, just kind of being a casual, like, get to know, you know, because there's kind of really isn't that in the industry, and you know, we're all so busy that, you know, even though I've met you a couple times and we've talked a few times and things like that, and I'm, you know, you're pretty open about everything on Facebook, there's a lot of things that I felt like, you know, like, hey, you know, like, I want to learn a little bit more about Billy. And so, like, everybody that I've done these with so far, Jason, being kind of the first one as a security blanket, Michael McCarthy, Vincent, Gentile last week, and now you, you know, I feel like it was a cool idea, you know, like, I didn't want to just slide into people's DMs, like, hey man, you know, like, I really want to be your friend. And so, like, I had this idea for the podcast, and just being a super chill, casual, you know, get to know each other versus only talking about the industry. I mean, obviously we do talk about the industry, but you know, I try to make it not that. And thankfully everybody who's listened so far, between the three podcasts, last count, we have probably about 120 listens between the three so
Nice.
far. So, you know, and everybody's telling me, like, dude, this is something that there's not, you know, a lot of podcasts being done in the industry about. I've had people tell me that, I forget who it was, I think Isaac made a comment last week that, you know, he talks to Vincent Gentile on a regular basis and still learned things about Vincent and the podcast last week that he never knew. So hopefully somebody who knows you maybe learned something when they listen to this podcast. And that's what I want. I just want to, you know, everybody, maybe we don't have time to get together and know each other. And this is kind of the way to do it. So you were always part of the original five. I told Jason, like, these are my five people I've got to talk to first. And if it does fairly well, then I'll figure out the next five. But, like, you know, if it doesn't, I'll go five and be done with it. So you were always in my top five, man. So I'm glad that when I shot you that message, that, of course, I didn't think that you would be too high and mighty, you know, to say, no, Alex, I don't have time for your
Hell
little
no. Oh, dude, I think you did.
podcast.
No, I hope you do keep this up because I thought you did a really good job. I
Thanks,
did.
man.
I mean, you know,
Thank you.
good questions. And some of them your challenge made me think a little bit. And I
Right.
like that. You know, what's your favorite color? You know?
Yeah,
So.
I mean, I don't want to ask, like, what's your favorite compound? You know, I don't want to ask, like, what's your favorite car to do? I mean, some of the, you know, like I did with Mike, you know, because he's a in the trenches detailer, you know. But you and Vincent are kind of, you know, you guys have got chemicals to sling and aren't necessarily detailing as much anymore. So there's no need to ask, you know, those types of questions. You know, the thought process was to kind of bring more attention to what you guys do and your chemicals and things like that. So for everybody who maybe doesn't know, where can they get a hold of ADG? Where, what, so obviously website, Facebook, Instagram, email, Snapchat, OnlyFans, whatever you got going on.
Yeah, well, you can check our website out, AmericanDetailerGarage.com, email AmericanDetailerGarageLLC@gmail.com. You can PM me, Billy Bogus. I'll be straight up with you, man. Answering Facebook private message. It's not if, like if you looked at my phone screen, Facebook or messaging is not even on my home screen. I gotta like
Wow.
swipe and go find it, and then Messenger's not even on the same screen as Facebook because it blows up so much that
Oh, I
you
bet.
got you got email, you got text, you got things you got to do. And so private messaging is probably the slowest way for me to get back to you. I'll get back to people. Don't
Yeah.
call me on Messenger. I never answer. It's creepy as hell. But now if you guys or anybody listening to the podcast are interested in our product, I mean, we've got several distributors, so I can plug them. Alex is a
Yes,
Auto Fiber,
please.
autofiber.com, 5PointCarCare.com if you're a ceramic pro guy. We've got autoaudi.com. We've got thecleangarage.com, americandetailergarage.com, obviously autogeek.net. and I'm actually working with them right now. We will be featured in the September newsletter from Auto Geek. We're
Nice.
going to bring
Congratulations.
F bomb out. So thank you. So we're really excited about all that. And again, I mean, you guys, you know, shoot me a friend request on Facebook. If, you know, if I don't already know you, typically I'll make sure we have several mutual friends before I accept, you know,
yeah.
But that's almost another joke in itself.
Yeah. But you know, what's funny is, you know, it's kind of, you know, 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon kind of deal. To me, it's 7 degrees of Aaron Knox. I mean, if you're a Facebook friend of Aaron Knox, you're pretty much going to have some kind of, you know, with every detailer that ever. I mean, that's usually anybody who sends me a friend request, and I kind of do the same thing. You know, like I look to see who we're mutual friends with first, and Knox is usually always in that one or two square.
Yeah, well, you'll see some of these guys will be like mutual friends, and the same names pop up. Like they'll accept any friend request if.
Yeah.
Abu Archerine, yeah. You know, sends me a friend request or whatever, and it looks like a fake account, but we have five
right.
mutual friends. It seems like those all five of those people, like, y'all need friends that bad? You just take everybody's friend request. So, I've got certain people I'll check for, but,
right.
You know, if Noxie's on
I
there,
gotcha.
Then, you know, then I'm they're pretty good to go.
Yeah, I gotcha. All right, Billy. Well, man, I'm not going to keep you too much more tonight. You know, I go spend some time with Beth and the family. I really appreciate you again doing this. And I look forward to talking to you soon, man. I know we chat back and forth a few times, especially when I've got questions. So for everybody listening, he does answer pretty quickly, even though he says he doesn't, or maybe it's just me. I don't know. But yeah, man, thanks for being a part of this podcast, and, it'll drop Sunday night for everybody to listen to. I hope it gets some good positive feedback. So you have a good night, sir. And we'll
Alex,
chat at you soon.
Thank you for your time, brother. It's an honor to be on the podcast. If you need me again, feel free to reach out anytime.
Yes, sir. You have a great night, man.
Thanks, brother. Have a good night.
Thanks, bud. Bye. All right, everybody. So that was Billy Bogus with American Detailer Garage. We're super excited to have him on. As always, Billy's just one of the greats, I think, in this industry. Tells it how it is, but really down to earth and just super friendly. So as we kind of mentioned, you know, obviously Aaron Knox got bumped yet again. For Billy, I think it was probably for the better. So we will try... You know, fingers crossed, we'll try and get Aaron next week. I know he's a busy guy, but we seem to be a little bit busier with this podcast deal. So you guys have a great week, and we will see you next week for episode 5. Thanks for listening. Bye.